where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
Now we are so pleased to welcome back Amy Scruggs. We had her on the show a few years ago. So impressive. And she helps people with their media appearances. Welcome, Amy. Tell us about your journey, because I know you've been through some things and what you're doing now.
It's been an interesting journey since we were last together. And I still have to say that I love the clips in the interview that we've done before, because I still use them all the time. When I talk about repurposing and using those sound bites, we did some really good stuff.
You've always been one of our favorite guests, so thanks for coming back.
I appreciate that so much. I feel the same way about this show. So when you guys reached out, I'm like, absolutely. And I'm here for a different twist on it today. Yes, I love speaking about media coaching and helping professionals be more articulate in speaking. But I was thrown a curveball after we were last together, and it's that my family needed me. We have a lot of kids. I have aging parents, like many do. My youngest was just going off to college as I realized that my father's advancement in his Alzheimer's disease had gone to a next level. And I went up during the holidays, about 2 hours north of where I live, to visit and saw that his needs were beyond what my mother was able to handle. And she didn't realize yet. She was in it so much, she couldn't see from the top down. And it was an immediate response that says, this has to be handled now. And here I had my business. I had speaking engagements. I was working full time with clients, but my family needed me. And I literally stepped away from this desk, packed up the car, and moved in with my parents. Yes, 50-something living with my parents. That was a whole different video series. Living with my parents to care for my father with Alzheimer's. The caregiving crisis was immediately opened up to me, because I love being educated and empowered. And so the minute I knew I was going into this, I engaged in every possible resource that was of Alzheimer's education, caregiving support groups online, Facebook groups that were other caregivers. And, you know, what do I do? How do I handle this? And that really was eye-opening to find out how many families are impacted by this. I spent a year and a half, almost 2 years, with Dad and walking beside him. And I decided to take my joy in media and combine these two things at this time. And I turned the cameras on in pigtails and braids and no makeup in the trenches with Dad, because my dad is he was wonderful and joyful and loved to play. And I loved to play. So we decided to make it his best last days ever. And I recorded our journey in play and in engaging with this disease and working with it, not against it. Our carpool karaoke, we called it carpool caregiver karaoke. I had the baking series, crafts, projects in the yard. We caught squirrels, we did everything. And it was the most amazing, life-changing journey I could ever experience. However, we want to go with this in this discussion, because it also completely annihilated my business. After he passed, I sat down and a notebook on my desk still said December 2023, and it was now mid-2025. I said, okay, what do I do? What do I do? But the time with Dad was life-changing, and he made an impact on people's lives. He had so many followers. He went viral. He was hilarious. He was sweet. He was loving. And I did everything with him and for him up until his last breath, which was the hardest, most beautiful moment of my life.
What was his name?
Tom Scruggs. My dad, from the time I was little, said I was going to be another Barbara Mandrell when I grew up. He knew I was going to be a performer and a singer. We loved music together. That was our thing. I would go with him to the hardware store and work on the cars in the garage. I would be out in the yard with him. We would laugh together. He was very, very loving, very supporting, very playful, as I am as well. We were both jokesters and we're both very klutzy. And so we had that in common, our love for Johnny Cash, our love for country music. I have a picture right here on my wall of he and I standing together with Clint Black in my first big national show. He was there with me for all of that, always supportive of my kids. And so when it was time for me to care for him, he still knew who I was when I got there. About 5-6 months in, he really didn't remember who I was, but he knew he loved me. And there was this twinkle in his eye, and he would say, you're really good at this. And he'd say, I love you so much, sweetheart. But then he would say, what's her name again? That was heartbreaking to go through that, but it's okay. It's okay. I wouldn't tell him no for anything. He wanted to play. He wanted to do something. He wanted to go out in the yard. Yes, we're going to do all of those things. I took him on his last kind of bucket list experiences. We went to the casino the last time. I pushed him in the wheelchair. I took him to the restroom. He just pushed buttons. We did the penny slots, but he just pushed buttons and he had a blast. We would go to the airport and watch the airplanes and have lunch. And I took him out into the community every day. He would shake hands and meet people, every checker at every store, at Target, the grocery store, all of the places we frequented, every little restaurant I took him to, they knew us. And he loved it. He would smile and people would say, oh my goodness, you guys look so happy. And I tried to show the joy in dementia care, as hard as it was. There were so many beautiful moments. And what I realized is I had an opportunity to live with him, partner with him, and play with him and be just a kid. I wasn't worried about the phone ringing or my business because I had to throw it out the window. I had to let that go and say, I wouldn't change this for anything. I wouldn't change a minute of that time with him. No regrets. And I would actually ask every entrepreneur, if it's possible, even if it's just a day, that you leave it all on the ground. And I say, I just want to be me and I want to play for a day because I found myself again. And I think if I hadn't found myself, I wouldn't be in the position to have reintegrated into my business with such new insight and new joy in it.
Yeah, I saw a LinkedIn post by someone who's been on the show, Joseph Varghese, I think it was. And he took a week and no electronics, no social, no computer, no anything. He hung out with his kids and his family and they just went on adventures. And he said he came back so strong from that. Like, you're ready to create and really go again. I do think that's an important thing for entrepreneurs.
It is. And I didn't realize I was forced into it. But I've been running and chasing since I was 18 years old. Just go, 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 chase, chase, do, climb, climb, recoup, you know, go through the recession. All right, rebuild again. I don't remember a time since I was a kid that all stopped and that all didn't exist. And all of a sudden, because of being in this disease with him and finding the ways to make it the most joyful, playful experience ever, I mean, we were still singing his last few days alive, whatever little strength he had, he was singing with me at the bed. And it was beautiful. It reinvented me in a different way as well. And I feel like I'm ready to be back better and stronger. It took me about 8 months after he passed before I could even face going back in. I wasn't ready. I actually was having a hard time speaking, which as a keynote speaker is not a good thing. I was actually really stuttering and struggling speaking. And I realized it was just the deep grief because not only did I lose Dad, I lost my identity as a caregiver. I would tell people I'm a recovering caregiver. There was an identity crisis because it became my business. I put just as much into running that, his doctor's appointments, his plans, his activities, our daily agenda, as I did my business. And it was such an identity swap there for me.
I remember when my mom was going through her last stages of life, she didn't have dementia so much, but she was in the hospital a lot and she was in a coma. Elizabeth had to watch the kids and get them to school. I was just starting out at the law firm. I remember sitting in her emergency room while she was in a coma, you know, typing emails and stuff. But at least I was there and I was able to spend time with her when she was cogent. And I'm glad that I was able to do that. And it wasn't always easy. I mean, sometimes I was kind of irritated about having to take the time from my other responsibilities. But in the end, I look back at it and I say, well, you know, this was something I'm glad that I did. And I know that she was happy that I was there too. You know, there's just that loyalty sometimes, if you have a good relationship with a parent, that sort of transcends all the other things. And Amy, I think it shows a lot of devotion and loyalty to your dad to have gone that route and supported him for such a long time.
I think it shows a huge strength of character, really. Yeah. So Jace, do you have any questions or comments for Amy? Like, how did you put your life back together afterwards?
No, I mean, it's an amazing story that you took that time and spent that time with your father like you did. Unfortunately, my father passed away from a heart attack and, you know, did not get that opportunity to really spend that quality time with him. So I just think that is just an amazing story. And, you know, what you did and how you supported him during those times when, you know, he was confused and scared, and just to have you there to be that just person, that rock, I know he was comforted by that. So I'm very amazed by the story.
Amy, how did you finally pick up the pieces and start your business again? Did you do it one step at a time?
It was definitely one step at a time. There were a lot of tears. And at one point, I was just going through the list of things. Okay, well, underwater basket weaving sounds fun. Let's see, what else? What other careers could I do here? Because I really was feeling that I was left behind. You can't be gone that long and then just step back in and have people go, oh, there you are. But I realized it by putting our journey online, by sharing the real, raw, vulnerable experience of what we were going through, that everybody was connecting and resonating with me and cheering me on the whole way, that when I said, okay, I'm ready, I had to put my hand out and say, I'm ready. Who can I work with? And I'm telling you, the phone rang. It was like, it was a miracle, but it was just this beautiful, like, I wasn't forgotten. And I think as an entrepreneur, to realize that decisions that I made in my business 10 years ago, I got to reap back today by being able to plug back in, laying the right foundations, doing honest work, working with people with integrity is what allowed me to come back. And I wasn't forgotten, and I still made a difference in Dad's life. We made a difference in others' lives. And any little business, the first client I had back was someone I had known for 15 years. And she was so wonderful. And she called me in August. She said, Amy, I need you out of your funk because I need you. That's not exactly. Okay. And it was so eye-opening. Okay. I'm coming back. It's another moment of, okay, I'm able to speak again. And I'm back. And I'm so appreciative that your show is still here to say welcome back. So thank you for that.
Which did you find more challenging, being a caregiver or being an entrepreneur?
The entrepreneur is still harder. The caregiving was tough in a different way. The entrepreneur is that it all falls on me. I didn't have a team to say, here, can you be me while I'm gone? Can you go speak for me while I'm gone? I think the entrepreneurship is scarier. It's scarier again as I'm back in it. It is definitely the scarier part. Caregiving was just nothing but love and life and joy and beauty. And I think the entrepreneurship is really not for the faint of heart.
Does it always have all of those things, right? It doesn't have like joy and beauty every day. But
well, you don't know what's going to happen as an entrepreneur. I mean, you pretty much knew what was going to happen with your father's heartbreaking as it was. But as an entrepreneur, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
You know, as an entrepreneur, you don't have those resources necessarily if you're working for somebody that you can take that family leave or whatever those benefits are. It's on us. And so as a community, how do we change the narrative to start supporting entrepreneurs more as caregiving is becoming a larger crisis in today's, especially in our country? You got 1 in 4 adults are a caregiver.
So I was going to ask, I mean, what advice would you give to entrepreneurs who are facing the same sort of situation? They're moving along and all of a sudden, bingo, you've got a sick parent or somebody that needs your attention. What advice would you give to them?
Start having conversations now. Don't wait till your loved one is in the point where they need it then. There should be conversation with siblings. I had a sibling who works a W-2 full-time career, so he was unable to help. And my mom said, well, he has a job. Well, so did I. Well, no, it's just your business. So there was a miscommunication there as to who should be helping and what the priority was. And I think having communications as a family, with your parents, with your children, say when this happens, because it's not if, it's when someone has a need in your family, because it's going to happen. What is our response? What systems? Who can give up what? Where can we make those adjustments? How could a business still continue? The conversation should have happened 3 years ago, 4 years ago, not when I went into a burning building, as I described it. I feel like I just dropped everything and walked into a burning building. So I think finding out what can your family do? Who can do what? When can they do it? And already have a system in play so that you are not just thrown into the wolves and your entire company or business or whatever you do is thrown to the wayside. Even a nonprofit, who's going to run it if you're not there?
I do think, though, as an entrepreneur, you are somewhat at an advantage if you need to take a couple years off, because you can come back, as you said. And maybe if you hadn't come back to speaking, maybe you would have come back to, I don't know, building AI agents or something. Who knows? Amy Scruggs, so impressive.
Amy Scruggs Media. You can literally find me on any platform under Amy Scruggs Media, the website, any social media handles. I am the easiest to find. Just Google Amy Scruggs and you can't miss me.
Thank you so much, Amy.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.